Good evening, everyone. This is your host, HMA, broadcasting from my home-based studio in Pakistan. It's been a while. I wanted to undertake this subject. However, there were certain things which required a little more insight, and that took me a little while to come to the subject. And this particularly pertains to, as mentioned in the topic, the way things are in Afghanistan post withdrawal of US forces. And recently the entire scenario again came up to the limelight with the killing of President Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri, the spiritual leader from the start. And post the killing of OBL, that was in 2011, he was heading it. And based on that, there's a lot of mixed analysis, especially emerging out of the American media, and that circles around the way Americans have withdrawn. The debate lingers on: was it a premature withdrawal? Was Biden in a haste, left everything to the mercy of the barbarians? So I'll keep it pretty brief and give you my perspective, and let's see. Rest, it's history which will judge how things are at present. All we can do is whatever info that we can grab from multiple sources, we can work on that. So it is like this, that if you revert back to the Doha Accord that was signed between US and the Talibs, it showed one thing, and that was unprecedented if you take out the history of Afghanistan, and that was the transition of power. This was no child play. Every inch was calculated based on consensus, and not a single time the US administration, which is at the helm of the affair in White House or Pentagon or the CIA at Langley, they never gave a slightest hint that there is something going out of the ordinary. So for them, whatever the laid plan was, it was totally adhered by the Talibs. And it was a bilateral setting with a few regional actors. That's something pretty normal in these circumstances. The Americans wanted to end their longest war, and the best way was to come out of this entire fiasco without any scenes that history saw in Saigon or in other cases. So based on that, if you see, this transition showed that both parties were pretty mature in their approach. Now, we will not revert to the debate in terms of the moral standing, how Talibs are behaving, how they manage their subject. The entire thing is to understand the broader picture. So the consensus which led to the fall of Kabul, well, calling it fall of Kabul is a little bit harsh. We should rather call it the end game of Kabul that actually happened. So it was quite calculated, without any bloodshed, and that remains an achievement considering the track record. So now comes the second thing, and which is the legitimacy that is required by the Talibs. to become an integrated, inclusive part of the world, which is very difficult for them. It is more than what was required to win the war against the Americans on ground. So what it seems is, the way it has happened, it is that unlike 2001, where they were bound by the cultural legacy and the norms, where they let the special guests that were the Al-Qaeda guys to use their domain to undertake heinous act, and after that remain on that. And this is not the case as we speak now. They have very masterfully let this burden shift to Americans by giving them whatever was needed. It could be intel, it could be something more than that, by facilitating this entire episode, where such a precision based act has been undertaken, that not a single entity is reported to be damaged apart from the target, which was a very, very, very significant and high level target. So this shows that the executor, which is definitely the Americans, they were very much careful that the other party, which is the Talib, do not have a hard time towards addressing their local crowd. So this thing is very, very open and a clear indication that it isn't an act which is done in isolation. And if it was done in isolation, you would have seen a barrage coming out of the US popular media claiming that there was a hideout, it was something that they are not cooperating, and these sort of things. Nothing came, because it was a well calculated move, and that is why it happened. So if you see in this manner, the Talibs, not only have they matured, but whatever their understanding is with the Americans, that's being fulfilled. And I think, again, I would say, we are not going into the moral discussion of that, how they are managing their local people. There is no doubt the way regime is handling things, there are serious reservations all across the globe. However, in the broader picture, which we call realpolitik, it's pretty simple. The game is being played as per the rules, and that's why we do not foresee any wrath of Americans falling on the Talibs in near future. It is the internal issue, which is in the shape of sectarian or the offshoots of what you call it, IS Khorasan, which is basically disturbing the fabric of Talib's control through routine assassination attempts. So that is one thing, but overall, this is a classic episode of collaboration at the highest level based on confidence and allow me to use the word mutual respect, by caring for each other's interests. Then comes the second thing, which is a regular wrath being directed toward Pakistan from the American mainstream media and other pundits. Podcast is there. I was earlier listening to the Long War Journal podcast. I'm a big fan of it, but it seems like for them the entire onus has fallen on Pakistan. So a quick recap: it's a no man, it was a no man's land when the 9/11 happened. Why a no man land? Because it was such a wild territory. Anybody can have influence, but claiming that somebody controlled the Talibs or the AQ, that's next to impossible. There was no imagination as such that something of this magnitude can take place. The world was not accustomed to the WOT, war on terror, or the shape of terror which emerged post 9/11. So it happens, and then of course everybody rallies to root them out. That's all right. It is what happens from 2001 to 2003. Understood? What happens at Tora Bora, which is being claimed to be the main cause of US longest war staying there, that assessment holds no ground. It wasn't that. US wasn't fighting Al-Qaeda throughout that long war period. They were non-existent, just like both of their leaders. Anybody could hardly see them. Where were they? Emerging on the anniversary of 9/11 and giving a lecture, which after some years only became the audio thing. It was the Talibs who were fighting. They were the local people, and that was strategic mistakes by diverging attention. American post landing, for the next 10 years they couldn't decide whoever they in Afghanistan in the first place, how much presence they wanted, what were the objectives. They were totally spread across. Sometime it emerged they were there to contain the Chinese, sometime they were there for the Caspian, sometime they were there to keep a check on Iran. Even the best of allies were unaware what they were doing there. So it became a shooting gallery for everyone. Whoever wanted to flex the muscle had Afghanistan, and there were more than what one can count actors operating. And that was because it was a poorly planned and poorly managed and executed operation throughout. Then in the middle of it, the entire debate went to settling old cards. If you ask me, it was the war in Iraq that they opened, which later, what to say of the WMD and the entire thing, that really went against the Americans and the entire spirit of WOT, War on Terror, because what happened in Iraq post US engagement, the way things turned out, this magnitude of brutality was unimaginable. The emergence of Daesh, the way this sectarianism blew out of proportion, that the countries like Iraq and Syria, they were engulfed and turned into a caliphate which was unimaginable. That totally took the focus out of the entire Afghanistan episode. And through this folly, the Talibs seemed to be the good guys as compared to the other guys operating outside, which were killing, beheading, slaughtering without any rules of engagement. So they basically did something which brought Talibs to the limelight once again. Otherwise, if you see the gains in 2003 and 4, they were hardly anything. And this context that we supported one form of Talibs, let's say it is the Afghan Talibs, and that gave them the ventilator. I am repeating what Hamid Karzai, the noble Karzai, used to say. I say noble because you have all the track record. The most corrupt regimes in the world were allowed to sit there to basically play with the actual dream of the Afghan next generation. They were not let down by the Americans. They were not let down by the Talibs. They were let down by the people who were chosen to rule them, represent them. People like Ghani running away with billions of dollars, or let's say millions of dollars, while escaping, leaving their people to the mercy. And even Karzai, during his time, he couldn't integrate. He totally left a large population, which is the Pashtun, to the mercy of the conditions. They had nothing but to scatter, wander all across Afghanistan. And in the end, they had just one option, and that option was to join the militancy. That was it. So coming back, so Pakistan was supporting one form of Talibs. All right, fine. 2001, Pakistan was at peace. You fast forward to 2004. Till then, everything seems okay. Post 2004, we end up being the most impacted country from terrorism. And how it happens? Through an organization which was hardly heard of. It is the TTP. So the Talibs of Pakistan. God knows where they emerged from. And in the end of they caused a destruction which was beyond words. Some 70,000 souls, they were lost in this tug of war. So what happened, this territory between Pakistan and Afghanistan, that virtually became a no man land. On one end, towards the Afghan side, these provinces controlled by the shadowy government of Afghan Talibs. On this side, which you call the tribal belt, controlled by the Pakistani Talibs. And all we could do, the Afghan government and our government, was to watch in disarray what was happening. So that was a mutual arrangement between the two Talib side, one housing the other on the condition that the other allows the second party to move into their area. So what was happening was the Talib striking Pakistani forces that is used to go across the border, hosted by the Afghan Talib, and the Afghan Talibs kept hitting the Americans and returning back to the border areas in Pakistan, which we had no control, and it was the Pakistani Talibs who were hosting them. So these two non-state entities ended up fooling the entire strategic command of Pakistan, Afghanistan, Americans, the Britishers, and God knows how many others. So this is what they did for the entire episode, and we are here to blame each other. It is a blame which is placed on the misperceptions, on the mistrust, Americans not gauging what they were there for, Pakistanis unable to understand who the friend or foe is, and the other parties who were just tugging along, playing one way or the other, whatever came their way. So this is the tyranny. And as of now, the Talibs have learned pretty well what to do. And the best example is the episode of Al-Zawahiri. He was taken out by complete understanding between Americans and the government ruling the Kabul. And in future, you will see more of it. If they have to wipe out the entire unwanted command or guests, they will do it. They will do it very amicably, and Americans will develop, the strategic command will develop more trust on them than any other in the region. That's a very simple theory. So we will definitely revert to other topics in the coming weeks. We will try to make it a regular occurrence. Till then, everybody listening around, thank you very much. It's always an honor.